with Aaron Cowan.
I throw balls far. You want good words? Data language.
Talk real sports with a real man.
Come after me! I'm a man! I'm 40!
And now, here's the be-all, end-all, know-it-all of high school, college, and pro sports. Aaron Skinny Cowan with The Skinny on Sports.
We're talking about practice, man. I'm the MVP!
Good Thursday morning out there. Actually, it's a horrible Thursday morning out there for a couple of different professional sports fan bases with the injury bug biting hard. But welcome to the Skinny on Sports right here on 98.1 FM, the Sports Animal. Glad to have you along for the next hour. High school football at the end of the show. We got some games tonight. It starts tonight, a big one tonight over on the east side of the state. Then we'll kind of tell you who all is going to play tomorrow. The Daily Oklahoman. The Oklahoman came out with, they're kind of going through the different classifications. Their 4A poll came out yesterday. We'll look at it. It's different. It's different than some of the other ones we've seen so far. So we'll hit that. Also in the Oklahoman yesterday afternoon, the top 10 running backs in the Big 12. What a sad list.
Outside of number one, I don't know.
I guarantee you. I promise you one thing. You don't even know who you think number one isn't.
You're kidding me.
It's not. And it's hard to argue with production-wise.
Okay.
Because I think you think number one wears a Longhorn on his helmet. That is not who the Oklahoman ranked number one.
Okay.
Also, 20 teams that can make the playoff. Are there really that many? Heather Dinich believes so. We can look at her list. I wish we had a webcam. we'll look at those. We can look at her list and see how many of those teams that we truly believe do have a chance to make the playoff. Horrible news this morning out of Dallas. Seemingly horrible news this morning out of Oklahoma City. And then crazy news this morning out of L.A. 225-9698 is the phone or the text line. 225-9698. Give us a call. Shoot us a text. We could talk about any of those things. Whatever else might be on your mind, feel free to chime in at 225-9698. If you're going to be outside the listening area, there are a couple of ways to stay in touch with the show. One of those is to log on to KADSAM.com. The other, download the Paragon app. The app has it all. Three radio stations. It's got the Penny News. Brand new edition of the Penny News is on the website right now, thepennynews.com. Also, print edition of the Penny News. Go pick it up. It's everywhere right now. It's free. Check out all the deals this week in the Penny News. Big Elk TV and Paragon TV one day away. Let's see. That would be what, like 20 hours? No, 12. 36 hours.
Yeah. From
good grief, from right now.
Yeah.
Actually, 34. We need to take off two because it's 9 o'clock now. 34. Heck, 33 hours and 30 minutes. Let's get it down to the second. Big Elk TV, Paragon TV. The Elks hosting Altus. You'll have Merritt on the road at Hinton. And then next week, our friends down in Hollis will join with their season opener on the Friday of a Labor Day weekend. So that's all within the app. It's all free. Just download that puppy and you can take it with you. You know what you could do, Jared?
What's that?
You could sit in the stands in Hinton and watch the Elk City game on Big Elk TV, or you could sit in the stands right here in Elk City and watch the Merritt game on Paragon TV.
There you go.
Either way. We got the Skinny on Sports podcast, iTunes, KADSAM.com. If you miss the show entirely, you can go back and check us out that way. Hello, Jared. How are you this morning?
I'm good. How are you?
Horrible.
Horrible.
Absolutely horrible.
Oh.
Think of the three things, the three noteworthy things that have happened since you woke up this morning. There are three noteworthy things that have happened since you woke up this morning. All of them aren't good.
No. If you're a fan of these teams, so Tyron Smith.
Okay.
Chet Holmgren.
Okay.
What's the third? Am I missing one?
Yeah, the biggest story of all of them. Russell Westbrook and Pat Bev are on the same team? What?
They might fight each other.
Oh, you think?
They might fight each other.
All right, so
it'll be chronicled in the third or fourth season of Winning Time on HBO Max. Who would play Russell? Who would play Chet? Yeah, isn't that crazy? They're going to try to pair these guys up together.
There's zero. Does this not, to me, if you haven't heard, you have Pat Bev coming over from Utah for Talen Horton Tucker is the trade to the Lakers, which is so interesting because all of the different deals that have been thrown out there for all these years to try to get LeBron help or LeBron and AD help, especially over the past two, it was like Talen Horton Tucker is untouchable in any of these deals. They wouldn't make a deal for this guy or that guy or the other guy because we can't afford to give him up. And then you trade him for Patrick Beverley. Did LeBron hang out at the club too long last night and then wake up this morning and want this deal done? I mean, surely there's no chance in the world that these two guys actually play basketball together.
I haven't heard any talks of any more movement with Russell Westbrook, have you?
Not really, but...
I mean, obviously the big names have overshadowed anything else that's happened in the league, especially with the Kevin Durant saga, but I haven't heard. I thought that kind of died down. I thought they, early in the summer, they committed to Russell Westbrook. So we're going to commit to this. We're going to stick with him. Well, Russell Westbrook basically committed to the Lakers in hopes that they would commit to him, but I haven't heard much rumblings about that. So we'll see by the end of the day if we start to hear more rumblings of that, of him being moved, potentially moved.
This just seems like an obvious to me that, I mean, you bring in this guy with their history. I mean, and it's not like they've had just kind of a
minor disagreement. Does he have an agent now? Surely he hasn't. He's signed someone else.
Yeah, surely to goodness.
But I'm wondering, is his agent going, wait, no way. No way you're getting this guy. Russell doesn't want this guy.
Obviously not.
Well, sorry.
Well, even if he did, they don't care.
Yeah, they don't care.
And so that's not doing him any good. So
could it be maybe Russell signed off on it because Pat Bev called him up, said, hey, man, I'm sorry I took your ring away from you way back when. I'm going to help you win one now.
Surely not. I mean, that's the thing. This isn't just like a, hey, I don't like that. I mean, this is – these dudes
they do not
hate
like
each other.
Yeah.
Hate each other. I mean, there is – the only reason people know who Patrick Beverley is because he hurt Russell Westbrook's knee.
Exactly.
Nobody knew who he was.
Exactly.
And then all of a sudden he bangs into his knee, ruining the best chance at a Thunder ring – back in the 2013 season, and then all of a sudden people know who he is, and throughout the rest of – it's been a decade of hate between these two guys. Every time they play, it feels like there's going to be a fight. Then afterwards, you know, there's the clip I heard the morning guys playing of Westbrook after he torched Beverly in a game for 47. He's like, man, Pat Bev has you guys fooled. He just out there talking. He don't play no defense. Did you not watch the game tonight? He didn't play any defense. Hell, rocking the baby came from Westbrook posting him up and scoring. That's where that first originated. And now we've decided these two guys are going to play together? There's no way, right? Surely a Russell Westbrook trade is coming.
Well, I mean, maybe he returns to Oklahoma City since kind of leads into our next topic. Chet Holmgren is out for the year.
Yeah,
maybe Russell says, all right, that's it. Give me back to OKC. I'm going to retire.
Yeah, but there's no way the Thunder are doing that.
No, I know.
It has been announced this morning that Chet Holmgren is officially out for the season with a Lisfranc fracture of his foot. Sam Presti, his statement read like this. Certainly we are disappointed for Chet, especially given the excitement he had about getting on the floor with his teammates this season. We know Chet has a long career ahead of him within our organization and the Oklahoma City community. One of the things that impressed us most during the process of selecting Chet was his determination and focus. We expect that same tenacity will carry him through the period of time as we work together and support him during his rehabilitation. So the number two overall pick in the draft, Chet Holmgren, will miss his rookie season, joining a pretty amazing list of guys that suffered the same fate. Blake Griffin, Ben Simmons, Joel Embiid, all missed their rookie seasons with injuries. Chet Holmgren is on that list now officially as the Thunder rule him out for the entire season. What are your thoughts?
Well, it obviously brings up the question of his size and is it built for this league? I mean, he hurt himself in a dang pro-am pickup game, in Seattle? So, I mean, it just gets rougher in the league when you're going up against these guys night in and night out. So it does kind of rehash those questions. But he's in good company with those names that you mentioned of guys that were hurt before their career even began, and they've come back and had an impactful career. So at least a couple of them have. So there's that if we're looking at glass half full. Obviously now the focus changes. It kind of goes back to Presti's, 2-hour press conference or however long it was when he talked about we're kind of wait and see mode as far as if we're going to continue to tank, saying it without saying it, he did, or not. Well, I think now that's become clear. I think one more year of some bad basketball in OKC, but it could mean to bigger, better draft picks next summer. You know that, and I can't say his name. The guy from
Wembanyama.
Thank you.
Here come the I told you so's. I mean, there's all kinds of guys
about the size.
Yeah, okay. I mean, he got his foot stepped on by LeBron James. Now that's neither that there's no way you can start saying that. Oh yeah, this is going to be an occurring theme. You can't say that.
No.
You can take your victory lap for a season. And there's obvious reasons why the Thunder would immediately rule him out for the year. Obvious reasons. And you just mentioned them. For next year's, what was the tanking process if they wanted to, if he was able to play? Right?
Mm-hmm.
It was going to be a lot harder.
Yeah.
To be able to figure that out with him on the floor. Now, some people could say, well, that may not be true because of the learning curve he was going to have.
Right.
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 I mean, maybe him on the floor led to losses that wouldn't if he's not there. So that's an interesting dynamic as well. But, I mean, it's easy to, yeah, okay, it's an L so far. But getting your foot stepped on by LeBron James is different than having a chronic foot injury that never goes away. Now, this could be that. Good news is another guy that was built very similar to him suffered a very similar injury later on. Obviously, he'd played a few years, but looks like he's come back just fine and hasn't had chronic foot problems. But there's also guys that have. It's just, I mean, it's one of those things that everybody wants to say that that's a thing when the guy's never been hurt. You know, it's one thing if he's coming into the league all throughout his high school career and in college when he's missing games all the time because his feet are hurt.
Right.
Okay, yeah, that makes sense. Just a freak thing that happened on a floor that was wet and they had to quit the game in the second quarter. Okay. You know.
Yeah.
And that's the risk, though. There's no doubt about it. But it's the risk for everybody.
Yeah, there's a risk for every pick.
Everybody's risked of getting hurt.
Yeah.
And there's no doubt that there have been times in the NBA when guys of his size and stature think of Sam Bowie, think of Bill Walton, a couple of other. But here's that list is a few long. What about Sean Bradley? He played a bunch of years. I mean, you know, there's so many.
Yeah.
Guys that have been, I mean, there's another one on the team right now. Poku's feet don't hurt. You know, I mean, so the point is, yes, is the risk a little bit higher? Sure, but it's not like it was a 50-50 proposition going in.
I think the skill outweighs the risk, right? I mean, you wouldn't take him at number two if it didn't. And there's guys that always had size questions. Steph Curry's one of them. I mean, he came in, he looked like a little kid.
Well, he's a guy he couldn't play for a couple of years because his ankles were hurt.
Exactly.
He wasn't 7 foot.
And look at him.
He turned out okay.
Skill always outweighs the risk. And if this is just a part of it, then so be it. And what really changes? We're used to tanking now. So what's another year?
Well, and the real question is how many wins difference was he going to make this year?
Right. I mean, look at it, the preseason prognosis was even before this injury was, well, okay, Oklahoma City Thunder, now there's going to be the learning curve. They're still going to finish maybe third or fourth from the bottom of the West.
That's right. I mean,
so what changes?
Well, what changes is now supposed fears are realized because LeBron stepped on his foot.
Yeah.
That's what changes. And so now every single time, starting next year, it's going to be, I mean, how many years does he have to go before those fears subside? Probably never.
True.
Probably never.
Every time there's a question of an injury, it's, oh, it's because he's not big enough.
Yeah, especially feet. And here's the deal. He hasn't been hurt. But does it just take once and then it's recurring? Or is it a freak thing and they fix it and he'll be fine? Who knows? Nobody knows that. But we'll find out. And it could be the start of Sam Bowie 2.0, which would really suck if you're a Thunder fan. But here's my question.
I'm sitting here thinking about this. And
my question in all of this is, yeah, it looks. I mean, it's a horrible thing. There's no doubt about that. Was it necessary for it to be the whole year, or is that a convenience for it to be the whole year? I mean, you don't want a guy that clearly needs time on the floor and some growth as a player before the Thunder really need him to be good. You clearly don't need him missing a year of time. But is this over-cautionary just to make sure that everything's fine with what we're talking about? And then, oh, by the way, it also helps you out to be able to not have a guy like that. I mean, who's going to protect the rim now? Nobody.
Yeah.
Thunder don't have anybody like that. So over precaution plus, you know what? It's not that big a deal if we lose some more games for what's coming in the next year's draft and the picks that we have.
Is it fair? And I know what you're, and you're right. Like, he could stub his toe and they could say, okay, you're going to sit 20 games because of the end game of this all could be very rewarding. And I get that, what you're saying. Is it a season-ending injury, or is it really 2 or 3 months or 4 months or whatever? I'm not a doctor. I don't know. But back to my point, I don't think it's fair when, because of his size and this injury and the timing's horrible and the bunch of I told you so's comes out. But look at this really big guy that came out of Duke who's barely played. Zion Williamson.
But it all goes back to the same thing. It all goes back to the same thing, is big guys and legs.
Yeah.
You know, his totally different reason, the exactly opposite reason. Everybody's worried about Chet's feet and legs because he's skinny. Everybody's worried about Zion's feet and joints and legs because he's fat. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
It's just, it opens up the can now. It opens up the possibility of it. There, when you come into it, you can say that without much proof other than a few guys in history. But as far as that guy individually, he never – where's the proof that it's bothering him, right?
Right.
And then he gets his foot stepped on. Now it's going to be every single game after game, week after week, month after month, even when he starts playing. It's going to be in the back of everyone's mind. That fear is going to – it's – closer to being realized now than it ever was before because of what happened at that game in Seattle. So we'll see. You hope as a Thunder fan that this is clearly just way overly precautionary to try to avoid anything long term.
Yes.
And be able to sit out and then of course the things that come along with that positively with the draft picks that Oklahoma City has acquired through the trades for the last couple of years. But that also means that this is a one-off, and that they fix it. It gets fixed, and he's able to actually play. Because if not, then you're just in the same situation you were a year ago, with guys that are now going to start getting a year older, and maybe even a year more frustrated. You wonder, well, what's SGA thinking now?
Yeah.
I mean, we haven't seen him play a game yet, and who knows. But what's he thinking? Are we really going to have to do this again? Is he to that point yet, or is he like, yeah, you know what?
We weren't
going to be a playoff team with the guy.
Right. But at what point?
Does it get old?
Does it get old? He's like, I want to go for it. I want to give it all. Let's all get in and go for it. Go for a playoff spot and see what happens. Tired of having the reins pulled back on me.
Right. And that's the question. That's a huge question.
But he did sign that contract.
Well, of course he did.
And to me, that was kind of telling. Like, okay, but this is the modern NBA where contracts don't really mean anything anymore.
Not really. But
you got to wonder what he's thinking and others, for that matter.
Yeah, really just him.
Yeah. He's really the big – he's the big piece. And
yeah,
He's always been the guy that this – from the get-go, from the very start, from the Paul George trade, this is what this team was going to be built around. And that Paul George trade is getting further and further away. And at what point does Deshier go, I'm ready to kickstart my career and be known as one of these top elite guys in the league and get into playoff games and start showing my worth?
That's right. And, you know, all-star games and all the like, because it almost doesn't matter how good you are. If your team's got 10 wins at the all-star break, you're not going to be an all-star.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, the other part of that you said was the playoff games, and that's where the legacy is really, really built, is being able to perform in those clutch moments in playoff series.
Yeah, I mean, look at Damian Lillard. Portland is, they were perennial playoff contenders. Are they real title threats? Not really. But, man, he's had some great playoff moments. And he gets the beer commercials and the shoe deals and all this stuff, or stuff like that.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah, he gets – that's something that SGA, at what point does he say it's time?
Yeah.
Or I've tried it. I've hung in here. So now you're 3. Looks like you're 4 at the earliest. I'm getting frustrated.
Right.
Get me out of here. And that would be an even worse outcome than what we're talking about to start today with Holmgren not being able to play the entire year, because you've actually seen SGA be an all-star caliber guy on the floor in NBA games and for multiple seasons. You just had the promise of what Holmgren could be looking ahead.
Just had a great thought. I'll try to get out before I sneeze.
Oh, don't think you're going to make it.
I got it. What if that trade request comes and Sam goes, no?
He can.
asked yesterday, what GM is next?
Well, here's the deal.
No.
Especially for this year. No, I'm not going to play. Great.
It's great.
Awesome. Don't play. Don't you play.
We need as many balls in the raffle thing as we can get, okay?
That's right.
You don't want to play. That's fine.
Yeah, we're not trading you, and you're not playing either. I can't believe you asked us for a trade. Sit down. All season. I mean, that's the difference.
Please shut your door on your way out.
One team's saying no, trying to be in the playoff hunt and maybe get to the finals. The other team would be more than happy.
Yeah.
I'm mad. I'm not playing. Great.
Okay.
What can we do for you? What else can we do for you to not have you play? At least until next year. No, but there's nothing good about it. Whatsoever. Nothing good about this on the surface. Outside of maybe losing a few more games. But anybody that had those fears and anybody that didn't want to take him because of that now has a little feather in their cap, at least for 1 year. There's no doubt about that.
Right.
How about Tyron Smith? Did you hear what his injury was?
Very murky. You looked it up. I mean, I saw multiple reports of what it was.
Yeah, it started out as a torn hamstring.
Okay.
Then it turns out it's an avulsion fracture, which means the part of the hamstring that attaches to the back of your knee, it ripped completely off of that.
Well,
the muscle ripped completely away from that bone.
That's disgusting. Ugh.
He walked off under his own power.
Wow. You don't want to show weakness, I guess.
I don't know. That seems – when you hear what happened, it seems like you'd just be laying on the ground writhing in pain.
Yeah.
And he walked off under his own power, but
– here I am. I can't walk after a cramp in the back of my leg. I know. And this guy is walking off with the muscle torn off of his bone?
That's right. That's exactly what happened. So, obviously, Tyron Smith is out for a while. The early reports are December at the earliest. Drew made a good point when we were texting earlier. He's only 31, but he came into the league so young. He's been there 11 years already.
Yeah.
He was 20 when he got drafted out of USC. So this could be the end of Tyron Smith. The end seemed coming as far as him being an elite tackle. This could be the end of him playing at all. So huge loss for the Cowboys. Now you look next. What's coming next? Is it there's been some talk down there that Eric Fisher, the former number one overall pick at tackle of the Chiefs, played for Indianapolis last year, started 15 different games. Is he the solution? You know, without Lael Collins on the roster anymore, Terrence Steele was replacing him at right tackle. There was a possibility with Tyler Smith, the first rounder out of Tulsa, could be the replacement long term for Tyron. He's got an ankle. He's played exclusively at guard so far in the camp. So that seems to be a little bit of a stretch to move him over there. So maybe Eric Fisher is the solution for the Cowboys here in the near future to replace Tyron Smith, who doesn't look like he's going to be able to play much, if not at all, this season.
Well, I mean, we always tend to forget how he came, when he came in. And, you know, this is football. It's a rough sport. His body, at these professional athletes, they can only take so much. That's what came to mind to me was he finally broke.
And he'd been breaking down. I mean, yeah. We'd seen him out the last few seasons for different things, not the entire season, but he was missing a bunch of time. And the truth of it is there was a noticeable difference for the Dallas Cowboys when he played versus when he didn't play, even at a less successful level.
Yeah.
You know, he may not be the 8-time Pro Bowler that he's been for a majority of his career, even the last couple years, but there was still a huge difference in having him on the offensive line versus not.
Right. Yeah. So they need to find a replacement and quick. Season's coming in a hurry.
Yes, it is. So that's bad news all around. How's everybody's Thursday started?
Well, I mean, can't get any worse.
I think it can. I think Russell and Patrick Beverly actually playing on the same floor together could make that worse.
It's the Lakers. Who cares? I'd love the implosion.
Fair point.
I would love the implosion of the Lakers to continue to happen.
Maybe
with LeBron on the roster.
Maybe somebody would hit LeBron in the middle of the fight. All right. So I mentioned the top 10 running backs in the Big 12, according to the Oklahoman. Did you think of who number one was?
I did not. Deuce Vaughn.
Deuce Vaughn.
Okay.
Deuce Vaughn is number one. I think if you look at the – you can make that case. I think most people think that – and they're probably right that Bijan Robinson is more talented, per se, than Deuce Vaughn. More physical gifts than Deuce Vaughn. I don't know that he's had the impact of Deuce Vaughn.
Yeah, I can see that.
Deuce Vaughn.
Because Vaughn, when he's not on the field, as opposed to when he is on the field, it's a game changer. You have to always know where he's at. Where Robinson, he's on the field the majority of the time. I don't watch a lot of Texas football, but you just know, okay, there he is. Where's Worthy? You know, where's he lined up? All that, you know. But Deuce Vaughn, if he's off the field for Kansas State, they don't go very good. They're not as productive.
He ran for 1,404 yards. He caught like 49 passes. Nobody in the Big 12 period is returning off a bigger season. He scored 22 touchdowns. He had 100 receiving yards or 100 rushing yards in all but three of K-State's games. So, you can make that argument that Deuce Vaughn is the most productive player coming back at that position. Bijan Robinson's two, obviously. Those two are going to be at the top. Got any guesses at who's number three?
No.
I've never even heard of this guy.
Nah.
I'm not kidding you.
Who would?
Oh,
been?
No wonder, because he came from Minnesota. Okay, this is where you get the transfers, and it's
transfer,
like, oh my gosh,
there.
Who's that?
Yeah.
What school do you think he's from?
Iowa State.
Nope.
Is it Kansas?
It is Kansas. Matter of fact, listen to this.
That's why.
Kansas has number 3 and 4.
Oh, okay.
Kai Thomas is number 3. Came from Minnesota. Ran for a team high 824 yards, 9th in the Big Ten a year ago. And then Devin.
Hey, I got it. Why leave Minnesota to go to Kansas? Why leave Minnesota to go to the worst Power 5 football playing school in the country?
Did
somebody take his job in Minnesota? Were there disciplinary issues? Was he a grad transfer? Why?
I mean, he was the offensive player of the game at the Guaranteed Rate Bowl against West Virginia last year for Minnesota.
Did he think his draft stock was going to go up because he went to Kansas? Why?
No, here's why. He's from Topeka. He's from Kansas.
Okay.
That's why. And here's
the deal. A homeboy. I get it.
He might have liked Lance Leopold's style.
That's fine. It just boggles my mind.
Is that why you'd want to go to Kansas?
It boggles my mind. I could see why you'd want to go there to get good seats at the Fog, but not to play football.
I know why.
Why?
He wants to beat Texas.
Great reason why.
That's why. He wants to get a
good
win over
reason
Texas.
Why.
Devin Neal, also from Kansas, is number 4. He rushed for 707 yards a year ago in the Big 12. That was 9th. Some guy named Emini Bailey, TCU, is number 5. He was at Louisiana last year. 12th leading rusher in the Sun Belt Conference at 642 yards. Keandre Miller, sophomore, also TCU, 623 in the Big 12, which is 12th. Roshan Johnson, rushed for less than 600 yards for Texas, is number 7. Taj Brooks at Tech had less than 600 yards rushing. Sir Roderick Thompson, also from Tech, rushed for about 500 yards a year ago. And then Eric Gray of Oklahoma is number 10. Is this the saddest group of a top 10 running backs in the history of the Big 12?
Absolutely.
We're talking about the conference of Ricky Williams. We're talking about Adrian Peterson, DeMarco Murray, all the backs at Texas, all the backs at OSU. And this is what we've got.
Well, I think we knew going in that offensively it was going to be kind of a down year for the conference as far as superstar power. When you got, like I mentioned, Robinson, Worthy, but you saw the transfers out from Oklahoma. I mean, there's still Spencer Sanders there at OSU and company. I think we've mentioned it over and over. If he goes, the rest of the team's going to go. But overall, though, I mean, didn't we kind of think that, you know, this could be kind of that turnaround year, that down year offensive superpower or superstars?
Obviously,
in the conference.
If that's the top 10 running backs, it's not a very good group. But here's the thing. There are going to be guys that aren't on this list preseason that are going to be there postseason. Young guys, I mean, people are excited about Ollie Gordon up at OSU. Is it Dominic Richardson? Nobody would have had Jaylen Warren on this list last year going into the year. So there's going to be guys emerge, is what I'm saying. The young guys at OU with Salchuk or Javonte Barnes, or is Marcus Major finally living up to his promise? Devin Neal had 100 against OU last year on 23 carries.
I think if somebody ran for 400 yards against OU, that would probably get them a statue. I don't care how bad the OU defense is. You're running 400 yards against somebody. Maybe that's a little exaggeration, I think, from the texter.
But still, I mean, yeah.
Yeah, he had a couple touchdowns, too.
23 for 100 and 2 touchdowns. We had a 44-yarder. Yeah.
I mean, yeah.
But the point is, that is a horrific group.
It is.
Of running backs coming into the year. So what I'm saying is, these young guys that you're hearing about on the recruiting trail, and of course nobody wants to give anybody any credit before they do something, and rightfully so, but there's plenty of opportunity all across the conference for young guys to step in and have a big role as running backs.
Mm-hmm.
So, all right. Heather Dinich. She's out there sometimes.
Yeah, she's out there all right.
Why would you say such a thing?
I just don't like her takes sometimes.
How come?
It's just been very controversial, very opinionated from her point of view. And at the end of the day, her opinion and her take doesn't align with what actually happens.
Can you give us an example?
Well, I mean, who she thinks should be in the playoff, and then it never comes to fruition. It's happened more than once.
Yeah, she's off a lot on that.
A lot of it. But what does she have to say today? I mean, she's not as bad as Stuart Mandel.
Oh, the OU fans are upset at Stewie.
My goodness, he thinks a Nebraska team is going to come back and lose to what, North Dakota, and then turn around and beat OU. That is the hottest of hot takes this.
Don't we all think
he
didn't realize? He just did the records without looking at the schedule, and then when people called him out on it, he had to think of that right quick. Don't we really think that's what happened?
Yeah.
He's like, oh no, because if you don't know, he picked the records for Oklahoma and Nebraska, and he had both teams losing an out-of-conference game, which meant OU was going to have to lose to UTEP or Kent State, or Nebraska was going to have to lose to North Dakota or somebody else horrible. And I think he just threw that together once he realized, uh-oh, that was dumb, and tried to make the case for North Dakota to lose, or for Nebraska, excuse me, to lose to North Dakota 1 week and bounce back and beat Oklahoma the next.
Apparently, in a tweet, he said, because of the long road trip to Dublin, apparently jet lag is going to be set in for a full week.
Jet lag coming back and then facing a tough FCS opponent. I read it.
In Lincoln.
Yeah,
come
on.
They're not going home opener.
I don't know where North Dakota, I don't know what town that's in, but I don't think they're going to travel to Minot. I don't think they're heading to Minot or something. And anyway, that was pretty interesting for Stewie. She actually used the All-State playoff predictor.
Okay. And she picked the top 20 teams.
According to the All-State playoff predictor. So
okay,
we can't
She went into a computer and hit. Okay.
That's right. Yeah, she's just
wrote about it.
Yeah, she's just the writer. So we can't hang these opinions all the way on Heather Denich. Who do you think the All-State playoff predictor has as the team with the best chance to make the playoff?
Well, it could be one of three. I would say Alabama. No. Pump the brakes. Ohio State.
That's correct.
Okay.
For obvious reasons. They don't have to play in the SEC.
Right.
They don't have Georgia, another top three team, possibly in the title game.
Same conference. Yeah.
Yeah. So 83% chance that Ohio State makes the playoff. Number two and number three are the same. Number two and number three, you would think.
Yeah.
They do give Alabama a better chance than Georgia. Alabama at 80%, Georgia at 75%. Who's number four?
Clemson.
Clemson is number four with a 58% chance. So according to the All-State playoff predictor, four teams with a better than 50% chance of making the playoff. Number five, it goes all the way down to 18%. Are you looking at the list?
No.
Are you guessing?
Who do you think? I was actually looking up a betting thing I saw yesterday.
Who do you think's next?
OU.
Not OU. It is Notre Dame.
Ah.
Notre Dame at 17.9. Michigan at 17.6. Who's next?
USC.
Texas.
Oh, Texas.
17.4. percent. So Texas with the 7th best chance in the nation to make the college football playoff.
That probably skyrocket if they are somehow to be able to beat Alabama.
Oh my gosh. Yeah.
And I think that's a big reason what's the schedule look like if they, you know, and yeah, I mean obviously beating Nebraska, Texas or Alabama, good chance to win in Dallas. That's still, in my mind, 50-50 for either team. And then, then you got what we just talked about, kind of a down Big 12 schedule, that Big 12 year. I can see that.
I'm sorry. ESPN's FPI loves Texas because of the offensive talent it returns. The Alabama game is the only game it doesn't give the Longhorns a better than 50% chance of winning. So in the eyes of the ESPN FPI, Texas – should go 11-1. And that would be why they have higher odds than, say, the next team is Oklahoma at 11.3%. Interesting take here is that if Oklahoma loses to Texas, they still have the two teams out on their schedule left will still be the two teams that played in the Big 12 title game last year that both beat them. Now, both are at home, but that's where that kind of comes from. Who's next? This next team is one that you like.
Tennessee?
No. Not quite that far out there.
I like them. BYU.
The U.
Oh, okay.
The U. So the U would be like number 9. And obviously that game at A&M the third week of the season will tell us a lot about if the U's contenders or pretenders. Utah next with the 10th best chance at 7.2. Then it drops down to Oklahoma State, the third Big 12 team with a 4% chance. Oklahoma State gets started at home, but then October 1st, we'll know a lot more about OSU when they travel down to Waco for the rematch of the Big 12 title game against the Baylor Bears. Win that one? Now it's time to start talking. Talking about what's up with Oklahoma State. Do you think we can still go further? I mean, where's Baylor at in your mind?
Past 15.
But as far as chance, do you give them a realistic chance? Because I will tell you this, Baylor's not on this list.
Mm. Well, technically, I'm right.
Guess who is, though?
Who is that?
Big Blue.
Well, that helps that they're in the SEC.
Kentucky.
I can see why that would be.
Also, North Carolina.
What?
I mean, are we really supposed to sit here and believe that North Carolina has a better chance of making the playoff than Baylor?
No.
Boy, it doesn't seem like it to me, at least preseason.
Absolutely not.
There was another one up here. LSU?
No.
I mean, listen, Jaden Daniels could make a big difference. But is he really going to make from 6-7 to playoff? I don't know.
Hurts me to see it.
Yeah, terrible conference for UNC. That's true.
Well, yeah, and that's why Clemson's the.
And then that's why Pitt's on this list.
Yeah.
As well. And then there's one group of five team.
Can we talk about that some other time? What the ACC.
Do we really think
it's a terrible conference?
No,
We just mentioned Clemson and what about North Carolina State?
I think they have
Miami.
I think they have a bunch of teams that nobody. They
Wake
have
Forest.
They have one really good team, obviously with Clemson. Then they have a bunch of even their teams that are pretty good. It is. It's Pitt, Wake Forest. It's not Oregon, or it's not a bunch of the schools in the Big Ten. You know what I'm saying? I think it's just here's their problem. You know what would make people think the ACC was better than they think that it is right now?
What's that?
If Miami and Florida State were having the same success that NC State and Pitt or whoever is having as that the second and third best teams that were going 10-2 mm-hmm. or 9-3 were named Miami and Florida State as opposed to Pitt and NC State or North Carolina.
Yeah.
I think that's their problem more than anything because I do believe that the ACC is better. At least coming into this year.
I think they're better.
Better than they have. It's not just Clemson and a bunch
exactly,
of run-downs.
Exactly. I don't think it. And I think what happened last year was that gap closed a little bit. And could it be closing even more this year? It really depends on how Clemson plays, how the quarterback plays.
That's the key.
How the new coordinators gel there at Clemson.
Is DJ good? Is Cade Klubnik going to be the guy? Because that's what the difference was. And the Clemson defense was still very good. Clemson offense, and especially at quarterback, just wasn't any good.
It was not good.
And they've gone from as much as people are going to hate this name, who cares? He was an awesome player at Clemson, from Deshaun to Trevor Lawrence to then,
yeah,
fall off the cliff bad. But, yeah, I don't disagree with that take as far as the ACC being a little bit better. I mean, we've been so used to Clemson being so good and so dominant that maybe it even made the other ones look worse than they were. Although, I mean, how many times did they play in the ACC title game and their opponent was unranked because nobody else in the conference was ranked?
Correct.
That wasn't really the case last year, and it doesn't look like it's going to be the case this year.
No.
Who do you think the Group of Five team is with the best chance to make the playoffs?
Well, because of why I have them in a New Year's Six Bowl, I would say Houston.
It's actually Cincinnati.
Is it Cincinnati still?
It is Cincinnati. I think Houston, but remember we saw the Houston schedule? It wasn't very good. Kansas and Tech were their...
Yeah, not a lot of meat on that bone.
That's right, whereas Cincinnati goes to Arkansas week one. And another thing is Cincinnati, you could say BYU's got the schedule, and they absolutely do. But BYU's almost has it ramped up too much, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
They got too many of those. Hey, BYU, slow down. You know, Baylor and Arkansas was enough. You didn't have to add Oregon and Notre Dame as well, you know. Mm-hmm. And so that's going to make it that much harder. Because quite frankly, they're going to play as hard a schedule, at the top at least of their schedule, as about anybody. When you start adding those teams up to what they're playing. But now the question is, can BYU win enough games against that tough a schedule? The answer is probably not. So that's why they're not on this list. Kentucky Wildcats.
I have to get you a blue shirt.
There they are. Hey, don't worry about that.
I'm sure.
Blue is my favorite color. I got a whole bunch of blue shirts. May not have one quite that color.
Well, I'm sure our man Hunt could hook you up with a...
I can't believe he hasn't already.
Something with a UK on it.
Bringing Sean shirts, and I don't get a UK something.
Hey, Hunt, newsflash, we're in the press box too.
Yeah. Where do we think we call those games from? We're talking about some over-under bets off air. I heard this.
But what is Kansas over-under?
It's like 2.5.
2.5. They think three
wins.
Three wins? Where could that be? Let me pull up the schedule because I have my handy-dandy schedule.
While you're doing that, don't forget the Western Oklahoma Realty College Pick'em. Speaking of spreads, it is still open for business. Get signed up through the ESPN website, the Fantasy tab. Click the College Pick'em. Then from there, you go to the Skinny on Sports group and put your name down. We'll pick all season long against the spread, 10 games a week. We'll name a winner on the 6th of December, because the final weekend, the final Saturday is December the 4th. That's conference championship weekend. So everybody get involved. It's going to be a lot of fun, the Skinny on Sports. Western Oklahoma Realty College Pick'em. Thank you to Tyler Harrison, Robbie Allen, and all the gang at Western Oklahoma Realty. People before property is their motto. Give them a call for all your real estate needs.
Okay, Kansas schedule. I'll say it, and you tell me win or loss. Tennessee Tech.
Surely win. It better be.
At West Virginia.
Loss.
At Houston.
Loss.
I think I know where you're going with this next one. Hosting Duke.
Ooh, probably needs to be a win.
Yeah. Almost a must win at this point.
Yeah, well.
You want to get to that over?
They still got the Texas game to win later.
Yeah.
Okay.
So there's Duke. Hosting Iowa State.
Probably loss.
Hosting TCU.
Toss up, depending on how good TCU is. Yeah. With Sonny Dykes.
At OU.
They almost beat them last year.
It's in Norman.
Probably a loss.
At Baylor.
Loss.
Hosting OSU.
Loss.
At Texas Tech.
That's one that they could win.
Hosting Texas.
That's one they will win.
50-50. Flip a coin or
probably
yeah.
60-40.
You're ready to go to Vegas on that game alone. And ending the year, the Sunflower
K-State.
Showdown at K-State.
Ooh.
That's a loss.
Well, they're going to have
to
beat.
Yeah,
the Duke game is a must.
The Duke's a must if you want at least two wins. And then there's a couple toss-ups in the Big 12 schedule.
You never know. West Virginia, depending on how JT Daniels does, that's one that you could see them fall off the cliff.
I mean, second week of the year.
Tech with Joey McGuire
Texas Tech could be a disaster at that point.
And somebody's going to fall apart too. I don't think it's going to be Iowa State. I think Matt Campbell's too good.
I tell you what, I'd take the under.
Under 2.5. See, mm-hmm. I heard him say yesterday that that's one of the hottest overs, hottest bets in college football is KU over 2.5.
I just don't see it. I see the first win, but I don't see it's hard to even Duke.
Think about this, though. If they can pull it off against West Virginia, you'd be week three just needing one more.
Yeah.
You'd feel pretty good about that until it ends up being 2-10. Then you'd feel pretty awful about that.
Yeah.
Get your hopes up. All right, high school football games tonight. There's one big one. One big, big,
what
big one.
What is that?
In Class 6A, Bixby hosts Owosso. Big one there in 6A.
That is a big one.
Now, Bixby,
are they still going to look as dominant in it for a couple reasons? They're in, well, we won't know until later in the year. Now they're in
6A1.
But they've been incredibly dominant. Do they return a lot of guys from their – return that tight end, right?
Who's the name? Luke Haas.
Yeah.
Luke Haas is a guy that is committed to Arkansas. Number one player in the state of Oklahoma coming out, or at least right now, as a senior. Oh, Braden Presley. The third Presley brother.
Right.
Is a
freshman.
We were just
talking about them the other day.
That's right. And so it'll be his first action in a varsity game. His two brothers obviously haven't had any trouble, even as freshmen, being able to dominate the game. I guess he's a bigger dude than those other two guys. A little bit bigger guy. So maybe a little bit different type player, but with that pedigree, you'd think he'd be able to make some plays. I just got a text. My brother's going. They're expecting over 20,000 fans at Bixby tonight with the Owosso in town.
I want the way to watch it.
Isn't that the place that has the giant screen, the biggest screen in Oklahoma,
right
ahead
state.
Of Guymon?
Yeah.
At the field, their video board. So that's tonight. Tomorrow, a little bit of a look ahead. I mean, I'm sure we'll talk about this a little bit more tomorrow. But besides Elk City and Merritt, you've also got Clinton hosting Kingfisher. You got Sayre welcoming Cordell. Fairview is at home against Hobart. Thomas is at home against Watonga. And then in Class B, I think this may be a battle of top fives. Pioneer Pleasantvale against Shattuck. Is that right? Remember that being the case?
Depending on what poll you look at, but I think you're right.
Let's get out of here with poll talk.
Okay.
4A. Yesterday, the Oklahoman released their preseason top 10. We had seen the Tulsa World poll, and I thought that maybe the Tulsa World would slant a little bit further to the east. They didn't, at the top at least, with Tuttle. And this one does. From the Oklahoman, they've got Poto number one. Returned nearly every defensive starter from its semifinal team a year ago, Dax Collins. One of the best running backs in the state will lead the offense. So that's number one, Poto. Number two is Wagner. 8 on offense, 7 on defense returning, plus Gabe Rodriguez, the quarterback, will lead them. Number three, Cushing, who's got everybody back. 4, Blanchard. It's the highest I've seen the Lions. Quarterback Carson Cooksey, Jackson Laminack, and Brayson Carter are receivers. 6 on offense, 3 on defense. Then number 5 is the defending champs of Clinton. And I think purely because of returning starters, 4 on each side. Tuttle next. They only returned 3 starters on both sides of the ball. Hildale is 7, Bethany 8, the Elks 9, Broken Bow 10, and they actually go all the way down to 16, I think. When you look down the list, Newcastle at 12, a former district opponent here, and then the last two in the top 16, Weatherford 15 and Woodward 16. Lowest we've seen Clinton, isn't it, at number 5?
So I was just thinking about that. Like Clinton and Tuttle, we've seen multiple polls, AP, Tulsa World, coaches' polls, this one from the Oklahoman. A lot of question marks for both of those teams that played for the state title last year. They don't, but it's those are two teams that are traditionally good, so they don't really know where to put them.
Yeah,
there was a lot returning for Clinton, it'd be an easy number one.
Right.
You know, if there's a lot returning for Tuttle, 1, 2, somewhere in that range. And we've seen Tuttle as high as 1 and as low as right here, 6?
Yeah, 6th here.
So, it's like out of respect, like, okay, we don't know where to put them. They lose a lot, but Clinton's coming off a state title. They still have it looks like they got their guy in Coach Higbee. And that philosophy is back to that Mike Lee way of thinking. Do they reload or rebuild?
This is the first poll we've seen that would suggest not a full rebuild, but not necessarily just plug and play and let's go win it again. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And I think that the others, it's just natural. I think we both do it to a certain extent on other things. Oh, they're the defending champion. They're number one until you knock them off.
I've always kind of had that mentality with larger, like, college.
Right. And I mean, but the difference is, and even at 4A, it's a small enough spot that where
you lose few,
seven on each side, that's a bunch.
Yeah.
Especially when one of them, as we talked about Friday night, is Caden Powell and the way that he influenced the game.
Right.
No, I didn't. Of course, here's Billy. Of course we reload. And that could be the case. It's happened for years. I'm not saying it's not. I can understand for Tuttle and Clinton not to be at the very top of every poll just because of what they lost. I mean, you know what I mean? I can understand it.
You know what this reminds me of?
They could also prove everybody wrong.
You know what this reminds me of, this Clinton team? I'm going 20-plus years back. That 0-1 squad that my junior year, that senior class, Rodney Skinner, mm-hmm. Rodney Hines, the list goes on and on. They were stacked. They were gone. Then my senior year came around, and it kind of reminded me the same way. Where do we put this Clinton team?
Right.
And then they go and they rack off 13 wins and win it all.
Right.
So it could go either way because there were some games in there that season. Could have lost. Then they put together in the playoffs and
boom, there it is.
And then there it was. In fact, they got down like 16-0 against Salisol.
You know, and that's something that I've noticed. You mentioned Coach Higbee. It feels like that's the way Coach Lee's teams always were. They were playing the best at the end. Feels like he's done that as well. You know, starting with that year where they played in the semifinals against Bethany kind of out of nowhere and really had a good chance to – a hell of a chance to win that game. What, triple overtime?
Just a missed extra point
away from another overtime.
Yeah.
By the way, on this, I did not know this. I do know Kit Watson for sure. He was a year ahead of me in school from Leedy. His son has signed to play baseball with OU.
I've seen a lot of commits to OU lately.
That's cool.
Yeah. But I did not see one. That's awesome.
I wonder if he was one of those kids from Cali. I saw a big old list.
I'd like to know defensive.
Oh, he's from Tuttle.
Yeah, I'd like to know where rivals ranking wise these guys. Because I was going back way back even before the College World Series run after winning the Big 12 tournament title. I thought, is this a big step for Skip Johnson in the program to get some of those recruits to come to Norman, and then they made the heck of a run.
Right.
Is it going to start to pay off? Are we already seeing that?
Maybe so.
I don't know. I'd like to see how this shakes out for OU.
I did see Jackson Holiday played 8 games in rookie ball, and they have already took him up to Class A. He only hit like 410. 10 doubles, 4 home runs.
That's awesome.
And he is already headed to Class A.
It's awesome.
Or Single A. Everybody have a great Thursday. We will be back. It'll be football time tomorrow.
You've been listening to the Skinny on Sports podcast with Aaron Cowan. Be sure to hit that subscribe button to get alerts of when the latest podcast is available. Thanks for listening.